You are listening to What Kind of Asian Are You podcast, a podcast featuring conversations about being Asian. I am your host, Kyle, a Hong Kong Chinese Canadian diaspora interested in the third culture identity. Each week, I talk with a different diaspora Asian to talk about their life, stories, and experiences. The podcast looks to highlight, amplify, and validate Asian voices worldwide.
请勿靠近车门。 Please stand back from the doors.
I want to now talk a little bit about other things that you're really like, you know, into, really passionate about. And that's, you know, just the Korean culture as a whole, just because of the fact that you are Korean, you grew up with Korean culture. And I do want to talk about it because, you know, Korean culture is cool now. I mean, it's funny for me to say it like this because I can remember back in my day when my first exposure to like K-pop was probably around 2008, 2009 time. I was listening to Big Bang. I was listening to Wonder Girls. I was listening to like the Girls' Generation, Kara, and all that stuff.
So you got into K-pop like around the same time I did.
Like at that point, like I would have never imagined that it would get as huge as right now, because right now it's really, really huge. Like as a Korean Canadian yourself, like, did you ever see this happening?
I definitely did not expect it to be this big, but I mean, Korean culture, it was always cool. Okay. In terms of, I mean, what's really popular right now is K-pop and K-drama, right? I think those two are, you know, what's driving people to, you know, want to learn Korean and watch more Korean stuff, consume more Korean content. K-dramas personally is not my thing, so I can't really dissect K-dramas very well or why it got popular. I mean, they're binge-worthy and there's a lot of stuff that gets you hooked on it. It's one of those, like, some of them are those kind of guilty pleasure type entertainment. Some of them are just really cute. Some of them are funny. Like, there's a lot of things that you want there. So I understand why it's popular. As for K-pop, I could talk about K-pop all day, but I won't. Long story short, I'm a bit half-half, or I was half-half. Now I'm a little bit happier. So what I mean by half-half is I'm half happy and half worried.
You want to talk about why you're worried first, and then we can talk about like the happiness, because the worry thing is interesting. Like, why are you worried? Like, why would you worry that, you know, Korean culture is getting more popular?
The worry stems from, first of all, K-pop. And I grew up with second generation K-pop, right? So I got into K-pop 2008, 2009. And my ultimate group is a group called Big Bang. They played a huge part of my teenage years, still until now, you know, so that group means a lot to me. Now, they were immensely popular in Korea, of course, and all over Asia for a while now. Like, this isn't anything new. And they've done a couple of world tours where they came to North America, South America, Europe, all like everywhere. When they were huge and doing their world tours, I remember thinking, I don't want them to be mainstream. Like, in Western media, like, I don't want to hear them on the radio. I don't want them to be mainstream here. And part of that is because I don't need you to like Big Bang. I don't need you to love or know Big Bang. Big Bang doesn't need you to love Big Bang. You know what I mean? Like, they're already at their peak. And being in mainstream, Western mainstream media, to me at the time and still kind of now, only meant trouble, because I mean, we still see this today full on. Like, there's a lot of resistance against K-pop, and I didn't need a bunch of random people talking shit about a group they don't even know about. And so I just didn't want to see it. I didn't want to hear it. I didn't want more haters, because, you know, the more love and attention you have, the more haters you get as well. And I didn't need that. You know, I was just going to get upset. And so I don't think Big Bang is still, they're still not technically mainstream here. And that's fine. Like, that's exactly how I want things to be. I still don't want them to be mainstream here. But when I realized that K-pop was becoming mainstream here with BTS and Blackpink at the front, I was worried that it would just get all this negative attention, and it is getting negative attention here, and it upsets me. But the reason I'm like a little less worried and a little happier than before is solely because I can see the force that is behind armies and like don't mess with us armies, you know, like we're not gonna take shit. And so that sort of reassures me that even faced with a lot of hate against K-pop, there is a force, in my opinion, that is strong enough to fight that. And so I'm a little less worried now, but I'm still like not super happy or like in favor of K-pop being mainstream here.
I understand that. And I think your worries are pretty valid given, like, you know, now that, you know, BTS, Blackpink is getting more steam in the West, and like just news revolving around them are constantly, you know, either negative or just about, you know, the race or how, you know, we don't understand it. And you know, it's not good because we don't understand it and all that, you know, negativity. But I'm just very confused at, like, you know, how did they become what they are now, when I personally felt, look, if anyone were to make it, it would have been Big Bang from back then. But then it didn't happen, and I'm okay with that. But like overall, I was like, no, how did they come about? Because granted, I stopped kind of paying attention to like K-pop as a whole, like maybe 2012, during that whole time. I mean, I'll hear like certain things about, you know, K-pop, and I was like, oh, whatever. I listened to it. I just feel like, oh, it seems pretty generic now after like what Big Bang has done, what like Girl Generation has done. All of them sounds pretty similar. So I kind of stopped really caring. But now seeing like, no, BTS comes up, Blackpink, and I hear it, and it's like,
I kind of agree. It
still doesn't feel like that fresh, in my opinion, but that's just me.
Out of K-pop 2012-ish, because I remember those years too, where I just listened to Big Bang and 21, and everyone else was just kind of like, bleh, you know? Like, I didn't like anyone else. Like, there were a couple of songs, there were a couple of groups that I kind of liked. I still liked the second gen, but the newer ones, not so much. I wasn't interested. Newer ones, like, in 2013-ish.
Which one are the newer ones, then?
Red Velvet is a staple of that era. I like them as a group. I like maybe, like, two of their songs till now, but they're pretty, so it's fine. Like, they're visually pleasing. I follow them on Instagram, but their songs, like, not so much. I can't remember who was popular then. Like, I never got into EXO.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
They really took it off after, you know, no second gen for sure.
They were super popular. I never got into them. I mean, Big Bang had like 99% of my attention. So
yeah, I think of all the boy groups, I would say Big Bang really, you know, is my favorite. I really, really enjoyed Epic High the most. But I'm not sure like everything after that, it seems like very, very normal or like just, oh, I think I heard it before. And no, it has some like Big Bang sounds though, right? Because a lot of it is more like dancey, you know, electronic kind of vibe for the most part.
I didn't love those years either, like you. But the reason I got back into the newer groups is specifically because of Blackpink. I had been a YG stan for a long time. So everyone who came out of YG, I would check them out. You know, so not just Big Bang. Well, I mean, Big Bang is the reason why I love YG, but... there were other groups like 21, yes, there was Winner, there's Icon, there was you know, a number of solos. I mean, I always paid attention to them and I liked them generally. And then Blackpink happened, I was like, I have to, you know, check them out. And I really liked them. And so I got slightly back into K-pop, like the newer K-pop groups. And then that was sort of it for a couple of years. And then recently, in the last 2 years or so, I've been really into girl groups. I mean, you've listened to my episode with Jess, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of girl groups, a lot of girl solo artists, like they're really killing it. So I really love them. I'm not into any of the guy groups except for BTS. It took me a really long time to get into BTS. I got into them, I think 2018, which is fairly recent. And they were very popular before that, you know, so I wasn't paying really attention to them. Thing that I remember, I actually had something against BTS for a while. That's why I didn't check them out. Oh my God, people are going to hate
me. Wait. If you're going to say that, are you going to get canceled by armies?
I don't know. Okay, but listen, I'm an army now and I love them. So please be a little forgiving. So what happened was, I'm not even 100% if this is a song. I think it was Run. They have a song called Run. Mm-hmm. I'm not 100% sure if this is the right song, but there was a song where the music video looked really, really similar to one of Big Bang's music videos. Oh. And I was like, how dare they? Yeah. And so I was like, I don't like them. So I didn't listen to them for a while.
Do you remember which song music video that they copied from?
Sober. So 2015.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't want to say like this one idol owns this hair color or anything like that. Some people say that. I don't, because everyone has all different hair colors. But that era, G-Dragon had light orange hair.
Oh, yeah.
And I think someone else, it must have been Jimin. Mm. He had that shade orange hair. So it made that music video look even more similar, because from afar, like, that's what stands out, you know, because it's bright orange and they're in a field of grass. So I was like, I just saw screenshots of comparing the two. I didn't actually watch the music video, which is why I'm not 100% sure if I'm talking about the right song. But yeah, I saw that and I was like, I don't like them.
Oh,
so
man.
I didn't listen to BTS.
So, wow, that's it. That's funny. So like, talking about like BTS and like, you know, Blackpink, I think they're kind of like, you know, popularity really comes out from like, you know, overseas support and specifically fans that aren't necessarily Asian. Like, how do you find that? Because for me, like from the beginning where, you know, 2008, 2009, if you tell people you're like, oh, you like Korean pop, K-pop, like, it's like, they're like, what the heck? Why are you even listening to that? You don't even know what they're saying. Well, for me, since I'm not Korean, but like, they were very against it until now, where it's like, I could have like, oh, non-Asians tell me about K-pop, like, oh, and then they're like, oh, you don't like K-pop, and then all that stuff. And it's like, how do you find that? Like, I just find it a little interesting of like the reversal, because I did not expect like so many non-Asians to be so into K-pop, especially in the West.
Yeah, I totally agree. I do find it interesting. I find it kind of like just a funny turn of events, because like we were saying, we did not expect this at all. I can't really relate to people saying, oh, you can love music even if you don't understand the language, versus some other people say, oh, why do you love it? You don't even understand it. Because I'm sure you can appreciate music without understanding the lyrics, but I haven't experienced that myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because all the songs that I listen to, well, now it's exclusively K-pop, really, but I understand the lyrics, you know, so I can't relate to either side. In terms of, you know, back just not that long ago, literally no one ever talking about K-pop or liking K-pop. And now, like, it's a lot of people love it. I think this is part of my, like, half happy, like, why I'm happy answer. It's that I, you know, it makes me feel really proud to be Korean. Like, wow, we did this thing and it's so loved, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't do it, but like, you know what I mean?
My culture.
And yeah, yeah. So that's really cool. And, you know, like I was saying, back in elementary school, people didn't even know Korea. This was like 20 years ago. This is not that long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And now so many people know where Korea is, even. And like,
it's on the map now. Like,
yeah.
Everyone's talking about it, you know, mainstream television, and, you know, people, even the moms would know, oh, BTS and all that stuff. So it's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So in some ways, it makes me really happy and really proud of my culture. The fact that, you know, non-Koreans know and love K-pop, the fact that Western, like, people here in the West, K-pop and no K-pop, like, I think it's really amazing. And one of the benefits of that is we get to connect with people that we probably never would have connected with.
Sorry to interrupt this awesome episode with this, but please make sure to follow this podcast on your streaming platform and on Instagram if you haven't already. Again, you can find the podcast by searching What Kind of Asian Are You podcast, and also on Instagram at What Kind of Asian Pod. Again, it's What Kind of Asian Pod on Instagram. Please leave comments and reviews. I greatly appreciate them. And now back to the episode. I think the overall kind of explosion of Korean culture is definitely, like, you know, positive. But I'm still kind of a little wary when, like, you know, lots of non-Asian become like Korea boos and all that stuff. It's like, I don't know how I feel about that. I feel like it's very kind of just biting off the culture in the sense where it's like, are you really in it because you appreciate the culture, the people? And like, you know, if there's any kind of like, you know, racial issues, you won't be like, oh, I'm white. And then, you know, I don't really care. I just like the product, right? That's my concern. Yeah.
Yes, I agree.
And although the whole Korean culture being, you know, bigger and better is great, but I'm annoyed by one thing though. And it's like more people are getting into Korean food, specifically like, you know, kimchi.
I was going to talk about that. I said, okay, go on.
I was like, yeah, there's no way you can be like, I love kimchi now. When I ate it way back, you were giving me that stink eye or like, you know, no. What is that? Ew, it smells or whatever. Like, no, you can't be like this. Do a 180 on people.
Oh,
you know?
My God. I literally hate people sometimes like that. Like, I totally agree with you. I cannot. Like, just because it became a thing and it's like supposed to be popular and you're all of a sudden like, oh, yeah, I love that. No, you don't. And another thing I wanted to bring up about food is, I mean, this must be true for all, I guess, okay, I'm going to say Asian cultures, but probably other cultures as well. I just don't know them very well. The food that we have here, like, for example, the Korean food that we have here, like the Korean restaurants, are not representative of Korean food. And, you know, the more popular thing is K-barbecue. Mm-hmm. And I guess in bigger cities with a denser Asian population, they must have, you know, actual real good Korean food because there's just a lot of Asians and a lot of Koreans there. But in a place like Montreal, like, you cannot go to K-barbecue here and compare it to K-barbecue in Korea. Mm-hmm. It's just not the same. And so people saying, you know, I love this culture, I love their food, like, you don't even know. So, I mean, it's great. They appreciate it. But also, like you were saying, I'm just kind of annoyed. Like, are they actually genuine about it? Or are they just following the trend?
Yeah, at this point, I can confidently say, like, it's probably not a trend or a fad for K-pop or Korean culture. But I'm still always going to have that little idea. It's like, oh, it could all go back down to from before where it's just comes and go. But looking at how BTS is doing, how Blackpink is doing, hopefully it stays and they continue to thrive. But I'm just curious, like, beyond just Blackpink, beyond just BTS, who's the next one up? I mean, it can't just be those two only, right?
Just in terms of K-pop, like, who's the next group?
Yeah, like, or to make it into like, you know, mainstream media in the West, because I feel like in order to legitimize, like, you know, the whole concept of, oh, K-pop is great, you know, internationally, at least in the West, it can't be just, you know, BTS and like Blackpink, because that's the only thing that mainstream media talks about right now, I feel.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's gonna be just them for a while. I mean, a while, I don't know, let's say 5 years, a random number. If there isn't another group to follow up, like, with the same amount of popularity, if not more, maybe K-pop will become less popular here and, like, less mainstream. There will be less specific groups to talk about. Honestly, like, I'm not too fazed by that. Like we were saying, I'm not crazy about K-pop being in Western media. Like, I would prefer it not. So, like, it's kind of fine for me. I mean, I'm sure K-pop, you know, entertainment agencies, whatever you call it, I don't even know what you call it, preparing for the next Blackpink, the next BTS, I'm sure. And, you know, one of them might break through again. But I mean, I'm not, whatever.
Yeah.
It's fine if they don't, personally. Like, I'm sure they want to, but like, for me, I don't really care.
Because at the end of the day, you love K-pop, and even if they don't make it into the West, you still have your K-pop, and that's good enough.
Yes.
And we don't need the Western approval. If it's good, it's good. It doesn't matter if the Western people doesn't like it.
Like, I literally don't care if, you know, if white people like BTS or not. Yeah. Like, you don't need, I don't need you to like them. Like I was saying with Big Bang, BTS doesn't need you to like them.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't want to see the hate. Like, it's upsetting. Yeah. So that's why. Yeah.
Like, talking about the hate, like, it just reminds me of, like, oh, one of the things that really shocked me about, like, being removed from K-pop is, like, the amount of fan hate on other groups that's not their bias and all that stuff, like, that kind of toxic culture. I was like, Wow, like I did not expect that. Like, because I think second gen, there wasn't that much of that yet. It's really after I kind of stopped paying attention, it was when I keep hearing, oh yeah, but, you know, fans are fighting against each other, or fans are, you know, being toxic to like K-pop members that are not in their bias groups. Like, can you talk a little about that? Am I being off on that? Or like, is actually a thing where like fan culture and just, you know, that whole concept of like liking a K-pop group is, you know, a little off these days?
There is a noticeable amount of toxic fans. Yes, that is absolutely true. I mean, no one really knows who these people are, like behind the computer, as in like what age they are, or, you know, if they're boys or girls, or, you know, we don't know what they do, what they are. But they have, I don't know, I mean, they have this imagination or like this obsession in their head that they have the right to spread hate to other groups or like fans of other groups or like people who have different biases. I don't know, like with any kind of, you know, with the marvels of the internet, we get this kind of thing where people hide behind their keyboards and spread hate for reason. And it's definitely noticeable in K-pop as well. I mean, there are, you know, there are fans who are not toxic. The thing about the toxic fans is that they're very loud, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they will constantly post things, they will constantly spam, and the fans that are not toxic, like, we just enjoy the content, you know? So I definitely think that there's way more non-toxic fans out there. You just don't hear about them because we're not freaking saying anything. We're just enjoying the music or enjoying the quality of the music video or like whatever, you know? But yeah, there's definitely fan wars and they're annoying. I hate them. And I don't know if it's getting worse or better. It's honestly very hard to tell for me. But yeah, they're there. And I don't think it's going to go away anytime soon. I'm going to assume they're much younger than, say, I am. Because, you know, I'm in my late 20s. Yeah. I'm 29. And at a certain age, like, you have other
priorities.
Like, and like, I'm not trying to belittle teenagers. Mm-hmm. Like, they have their concerns and they're completely valid. Mm-hmm. But also, it's easier for them to be emotionally driven to like post shit on the internet. Whereas like, I'm not going to. But yeah, I think younger, like teenagers are more prone to that, to get caught up in these fan wars and being emotionally driven. Whereas when you're a little older, like there are other things that make you angry. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so we probably don't cause fan wars anymore, or I hope not. Yeah.
Well, to kind of end this K-pop, you know, conversation on a, you know, a better note, I guess, than, you know, just fan wars and such. You mentioned like, oh yeah, you really like the BTS and all that stuff. And you know, I'm just wondering, are there any kind of groups or singers that you really want to, you know, have people know about, you know, to check out? Like, maybe suggest like two or three that you have in mind other than BTS, because I don't think they need any more promotion at this point.
Okay, I'll tell you some underrated groups that are maybe not that underrated in Korea, but I'll mention them anyway. So if you want actually really, really, really talented singers who are idols, I would tell you to go to Mamamoo.
Okay, I heard of them. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're girl group. They're four members, and I mean, they're just amazingly vocally talented. Choreographies are really good too, but like you could just listen to them without, you know, sometimes like idols, their singing live is, you know, not great. But Mamamoo, they're like 100% always phenomenal. So I would recommend them. Another specific member is a group called G-IDLE. Their leader member, her name is Soyeon. And I think she's literally a genius. Okay. She's so crazy talented. She writes and produces all of their songs, all of the group songs. And she's always like, you know, working on their choreographies, designing their music video concepts. And I think she is a musical genius or something. Like, she is really, really up there. And in terms of her performances, like, she's a really, really good performer. So yeah, she stands out. So I would recommend those two.
That's great. And just because I'm still stuck in second gen, can you just recommend your favorites from second gen's maybe groups and songs or anything specific? Because for me, I would say, no, Wonder Girls, Girl Generation, and of course, like 2PM as well. But how about yours? We know mm-hmm. you're going to talk about Big Bang, but, you know, let the people know.
So you're talking second gen K-pop?
Yes.
Oh, geez. Oh my God. Other than Big Bang. Okay. I'm going to recommend one group that is a duet. So they're brother and sister.
Oh, okay.
Have you heard of a brother and sister?
Yes. I just can't remember the name. Like, I can't imagine them, but I don't remember their names.
Yeah. So their full group name, they don't have an English name. That's probably why. Their full group name is Akdong Musician.
Oh, yes, like yes, yes,
musician
yes.
is English, but musician. Yeah. And for short, we call them Akmyu because it's the first syllables. So they're also very musically talented. They produce all of their songs. All their songs are either really, really cute or super emotional, or like just like the lyrics are just genius, I think. And so they are really good. I listen to them a lot. Here's another. Is she considered second gen? I don't know, but this was, I got to know her when I was maybe 20. So this was 2012, 2013. Maybe technically not second gen, but I'll recommend her anyway. She's a solo artist. And her name is Ihai.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
She's also from YG. Can you tell?
I just remember her because she was on the Epic High song. So
Yeah. She was. And so she has a really nice voice and she's a really good singer. So I love those two.
What's your favorite Big Bang song?
I cannot. I can't do that. There's so many.
They do.
I can tell you, I mean, you probably know because you've listened to my other episodes, but I'm not going to tell you my favorite song because I don't have one, but my favorite member is G-Dragon.
I really like Heartbreaker, but he has solid songs throughout for sure. I don't know. I really like Last Farewell, Lies, their earlier stuff as well. Those are always
yes,
nice.
They're so good. Yeah. I mean, I still think Taeyang is the best vocalist plus the best dancer in all of K-pop, literally all of K-pop. Still no one has beaten him. And this is not me being like a second gen bias. Like I listen to K-pop now and the newer groups. No one beats Taeyang.
Oh, yeah, I could see that. And I think a lot of times, these groups only really focus on either you're the rapper or you're the singer or you're the dancer. But for Taeyang, he does it all for the most part. And I think for me, we should also say, go support Epic High. I mean, they're always great. Their music, they all do it themselves, and they get really big artists as well to go on their tracks as well. I mean, their newest album, CL was in it as well. CL is really dope as an artist as well. From 21 before.
She's so OG. I love her. Yeah, didn't they just release a new album?
You mean 21?
Epic High. No, Epic High.
Yeah, Epic High just released a new album. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, CL was on it. Yeah, a whole bunch of people was on it. And I think they really do some awesome stuff. And Pablo, the main rapper, he's super talented, super smart.
Sure. So I am most active on Instagram. You can find me at @Roa_podcast. My podcast is available on all the major platforms. You can probably literally just search Roa's podcast. If it doesn't come up, just add Life of an Asian and it'll be there. And yeah, I just want to say thank you for having me on your podcast. I certainly learned a lot too. And like I said, one of the best things about podcasting is being able to connect with other podcasters. And we had such a good conversation today.
Thank you for listening to What Kind of Asian Are You podcast. If you enjoyed what you heard, please consider following the podcast on your streaming platform and also on Instagram at What Kind of Asian Pod. Again, What Kind of Asian Pod. Make sure to leave reviews and ratings as well. Again, thank you for listening and supporting. See you on the next episode of What Kind of Asian Are You podcast.